Want to have your own business but don't want to start from scratch? Franchising might be the answer you're looking for. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show, the show that brings you thought leaders in business, franchising, and high-performance personal development. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Own a business without the pain and financial losses that come with creating it. Find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Learn how franchising can help you get there. Listen up and get ready for another episode of The Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to The Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we get the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in franchising, business, and high-performance personal development. Today, we have an incredible entrepreneur on the show who's a very special lead generator and franchise consultant who has helped so many people realize their dreams through franchising. He also routinely co-hosts a show called The Franchise Founders, and is most recently a founder of a company called Franchise Playbook. Dan Claps, welcome to the show.
Hey, Nick. It's good to see you, and thank you for having me today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's get things kicked off. Franchising is a very interesting space, and so many people get into franchising and have incredible stories of how they got into the space, but it seems like nobody really raises their hand and says, I'm going to get into franchising. So there's this term, right, or statement of, how did franchising find you? So Dan, I'm going to pose that question to yourself.
Yeah, sure. It's interesting since it's such a specific niche. I got in this industry in 2014, so it's been a decent amount of time, and my family still doesn't understand what I do for a living, right? It's not the traditional industry that we all think of. And you're right, I definitely didn't set out to be in franchising. I got into franchising because I had a business in college that was in the event staffing space. And it was really my first go at getting into business for myself. And it was more of a job than it was a business. It was all me. I was the main person for the events and for the customers and the employees. And I joke that I couldn't get sick. I actually worked every weekend. Think about in college, the age you are. I still worked every weekend for 1 year straight, because that was just what it took to get some traction. And in my early 20s, I didn't want to do that business anymore. And I looked at selling it and learned that it was not only not sellable, it was probably, I'd have to probably pay someone to take the business, not even get sold. I learned a lot from that because I had no systems in my business. So I started looking into franchises because they were all systems. And I figured I could learn how to be a better business owner through franchising. And through the process of exploring franchises, I was overwhelmed. There was so many options. You go on the internet, there's so many people trying to present to you options. I only had a limited amount of capital. So I was looking into franchising and I fell in love with that process. In 2014, I became a business broker with Murphy Business and Financial, which was actually able to, it's a franchise to teach you how to sell businesses and franchises. Through them, it was more focused on resales, business resales, selling an existing business. And I somehow became the franchise resale guy in New Jersey. I was very good at that. And then through Murphy and Business Financial franchise system, at the time, you had a membership to the IFPG, the International Franchise Professionals Group. Learned how to sell franchises or become a franchise coach or broker or consultant, whatever you want to call it. And rest is history. From there, franchising's become my home and will continue to be.
My gosh, you didn't necessarily pick franchising, or did you?
I wouldn't say I picked franchising. I was looking at owning a franchise, and I never envisioned myself to be a supplier or a industry professional within franchising. I thought I would be a franchise owner, not find this whole other niche of franchise development and lead generation. I started off, as I said, as a business broker and franchise coach. And in 2016, the founder of IFPG and I ended up partnering and starting a lead generation company called Career Transition Leads. And that really changed the direction of my career because I went from franchise development or franchise brokering lead generation for other franchise brokers and consultants and learned the value in lead generation.
Which is an art and a talent in itself. My gosh, IFPG is an incredible organization. That's really neat that you got your introduction to them the way that you did and started off looking into franchise ownership and found this world of, and kind of on the other side of the fence, helping people realize their dreams versus clearly you finding one particular franchise business. And that clearly segued into you being a pretty important part of IFPG and where they're at today. I've always admired your passion for franchising and helping people realize their dreams. I appreciate you sharing how you got involved with IFPG, but you said something pretty interesting. You know, you said that you help a lot of the consultants find potential franchise owners. It's career transition leads, right?
That's correct. Awesome. Yeah.
Okay. Through career transition leads, that works with IFPG, which is a franchise consulting network, which helps people sort through franchises. This is something that you're incredibly talented at. And for our viewers, clearly we're trying to help them level up. This is a space that you're all too familiar with. And I feel like so many people struggle and don't know where to even get started with lead generation. So would you share some tips and tricks for the viewers, how to generate leads? What means? How do you do it?
Sure. And just to be clear, lead generation obviously is very specific to each industry. Lead generation for a franchise consultant is going to be inherently different than for a franchisee, but the core principles are the same, right? So the core fundamentals, just like running a business, lead generation has some similarities. Just to touch on going back for one moment, Career Transition Leads is a platform that's built to help the IFPG consultants increase their business. Just like in your business, you've got your own lead generation systems to get your franchisees, people in the door, or not in the door, but people, your salespeople at their door, painting their homes. Lead generation, what I've learned is three core principles that you need to really stick to. Number one, before you even start doing lead gen, identify your numbers. Identify whatever business you're in. What is your average revenue per deal, per job, service, whatever, per ticket? And what is your profitability on that ticket? And then take the numbers and go all the way back and reverse engineer. So if your average job is X number of dollars, your profit is Y, you know how much money you can allocate toward acquiring a new customer. You want to create KPIs, key performance indicators, where you know from your costs of this is the absolute aggregate cost to get someone in to buy my service. This is the cost to get someone to be presented my service. This is the cost of a lead to just talk to someone. This is what it costs per lead, right? You want to break down your cost of every single step in your sales process. That way you can identify what you can allocate toward lead gen. If your goal is to do a certain amount of revenue, you can back out how much your average job is, and then you could figure out your average cost per job. And then all the way down the funnel, you could figure out really how many leads you need per day, per week, per month for your sales team to accomplish their goals. Number one principle is identify your KPIs or your costs per each area of your sales process. Principle number two would be, once you've identified that, set up a reporting tool. And a lot of franchisors have it, but all those steps have to be reported. You have to be checking in on it every day. And then number three principle, I'm going to make it four principles. Number three principle is you have to understand that leads are leads. And whether you're in a high ticket sale or a lower end purchase price, you need to have a volume of leads coming in a predictable way. I see so many business owners, they get some leads here and there, they turn it off, or they don't have an automated way of getting leads. You need to set up a system that you know works, that's consistent, that's predictable, and understand that it's a volume game. In whatever business you're in, you need to have a funnel of leads coming in. And then the bonus principle number four is, just like you set up a lead generation machine that's automated and bringing leads into your funnel, you need to set up a funnel that's also automated. Meaning, I know when a lead comes in to my new company, They're texted immediately. They're emailed immediately. They're called within 40 seconds. This is the script that is followed. This is the next step. Everything is streamlined or consistent. And that's going to allow you to be able to have some predictability to what your lead generation efforts are doing, to what it's going to result in revenue for your business.
Very interesting. I assume if you're, I love that you added that fourth, right? You do all this work, you leave it open to chance really without that fourth, right? It's like the holy grail there. You talked about KPIs, that speed to lead, I assume is something that you have up on the board and are really dialed in around. What are some tips and tricks to that funnel that you mentioned? What are some pitfalls?
So the first thing I would say with the funnel that I'm referring to, you can break down your funnel into little silos or little chambers, right? Where they're separated. And then you can pick apart each chamber to find an efficiency. In my business, in franchise coaching, we've got the lead generation chamber, right? And there's all the factor, different variables in that. Then you got another section, which is the funnel itself, texting, emailing, calling right away, what's working, what's not. Are we calling fast enough? Are our salespeople sticking to the script? Do they sound the right way on the phone? There's all these little nuance areas that can get fixed in that chamber. And then in the next chamber is the salesperson. You know, in our experience, in our example, the franchise coach that's working with the candidate. Again, are they calling on time? Are they getting on Zoom? Are they listening more than talking? Are they presenting the right franchise brands to the right candidates? And then the franchise brands that have to present, again, in our business, you've got these chambers and you can separate them to make it a little bit less overwhelming, but then you need to essentially audit every single step of your funnel constantly. I'll give you an example. In my previous business, which was career transition leads, I sold in May, my interest in continues to run and do great, but I had exited. But in that previous business, I didn't know these principles. And so we'd have an area of the funnel broken and we'd see our sales dip or increase and not know why. And when the sales dipped, sometimes it would take weeks, if not months, to find the issue. Whereas if you break it into chambers and you're constantly checking each area, you're going to have a better success at finding either what's working or what's not.
Wow. What an incredible tip, right? Getting granular, you know, it isn't so broad, and that can really separate those margins there. And I assume there's probably KPIs for each one of those micro funnels. I could imagine that's an incredible amount of support that you're providing. Thanks for those tips and tricks. I'm sure that our viewers are in leveling up. That's the whole point. But I want to transition here. You're in a space that is pretty unique. And I'm curious, you've mentioned a few different terms: franchise consultant, franchise broker, franchise coach. Just curious, what is the term that you like?
I think they're all interchangeable. My opinion on this is probably not the common opinion, but to me, a franchise consultant is a great term. You're consulting people on franchises. It makes sense to me. A franchise broker, I don't think is necessarily negative either. And I think that there's no reason to hide from the idea that what is a broker by definition, right? It's someone that if you're brokering a service, you're putting two people together or companies together and you're receiving a fee when a transaction takes place in the sense of a broker. And to me, a franchise broker, there's no reason to hide from that. I'll tell anyone that I work with that is buying a franchise, we get paid if you buy a franchise via a commission out of the franchise fee. And it's a significant percentage of it. It doesn't cost you any more or less. You can't get a discount going without a broker, right? But the franchise company is willing to pay us that fee to find talented people that can be top producers within the system. Just like an executive recruiter and my new company, recruiting companies to find people. And that fee to pay them is well worth it because it's finding me talent. To me, there's nothing wrong with franchise broker as a term, your franchise consultant, franchise coach. I've chosen to use franchise coach because our company's franchise playbook and it plays into the branding that we've developed. But all of those terms are interchangeable. They're all the same thing, really.
What makes a successful franchise coach?
I've had the privilege of getting to speak with hundreds of franchise consultants over the years. And I really enjoyed learning every single call. I learned something from someone because there's different ways to do franchise coaching, consulting. To me, it comes down to a few elements. One, true altruism. They have the ability to put the person first before themselves. They have the ability to put the candidates' needs before themselves and hold themselves to the highest standard that they need to make sure that their client is successful and that it's not just about selling franchises. That's number one that I've seen with great consultants that last, right? They've always done the right thing. And that's why they're in it for, you know, you take like a Patrick Elsner, I think he just celebrated a very long time. You don't get there by doing it, not putting people first, right? So number one, I would say always putting your candidates or your clients first. Number two, I would also say the ability to invest into leads, whether it's with career transition leads or other companies, or you're doing it yourself, you need to invest into lead generation heavily. And if it's not investing into lead generation, then you need to network really heavily. And that, in my opinion, takes longer, but you really need to do both. But in the beginning, you really need to invest into lead generation of some sort somewhere. And the consultants that have the ability to stomach that investment to get to a placement do the best. And then I would say number three is back to what I mentioned, which is really any business, it's the same thing, but they create a process. It's predictable and it's consistent. They don't change it. Their best coaches are getting on the phone. They're doing a process. They're sending their client a CQ. They're taking them through a specific process and they don't diverge too much from that process that they know works. Obviously, there's some changes. The people you work with are not computers. They have very, you know, a different buying styles, but more likely than not, if you set a specific process in your coaching business, brokering business, then you're going to do better.
I've seen all of those things ring true around yourself, right? A true commitment to the franchise candidate and what's best for them. Clearly a master of lead gen. My goodness, any business, right? If you're looking to be successful, you have to grow the pipeline and it starts with the potential customers. And I'm sure having the right potential customers, that's an art and nuance in itself. But then on the back end, systematized process that provides consistency around educating somebody about, oh my gosh, so many different options in franchising and really that art of the matchmaking. I really appreciate how you have gone about that, Dan. But yeah, I want to transition again. We've talked around franchise playbook, but just so exciting. You are currently in startup mode and that doesn't always happen. It's a season of a business, season in time, but it's a unique one, most certainly. And so I wanted to hear from you, what is it like being in startup mode with Franchise Playbook?
Yeah, it's the most interesting and exciting, and I'd argue the happiest time in my life right now. I just saw someone speak, I can't give credit to who it was, but they were saying that when you're in the trenches, whether it's when you started the business and you were working 7 days a week, or you just had your children and you're changing diapers and you're running around, the times where things are crazy and you're busier than ever, we look back and they're the best times. Oh man, remember college? Like I was studying for the finals, or people in the military, they think back to the times in training camp or if they were at deployed. The hardest times sometimes are the best times. And I've been taking that approach since day one. I knew that this wasn't going to be easy and that I should enjoy it though, because I'll never be at 30 years old building a new business again. The challenge for me was I exited Career Transition Leads in May of 2022 when Princeton Equity Group made the investment into IFPG, which is an incredible opportunity for both companies, IFPG and Career Transition Leads. I just knew for me, it was time to start my next business. And so I had to make sure that I was starting a business that was in line with not competing with my previous business, right? I wanted to stay in franchising. I wanted to start another franchise related business, but I needed to make sure that I was respecting my previous business and the new investor and ownership. And I took a lot of time planning this business months before my departure. And then also during the time I was transitioning, I spent nights and weekends planning and writing out business. I don't know if anyone's ever planned a business to the level that I did, because it was just a lot of planning. And Franchise Playbook is really what I had in mind in 2016 before starting Career Transition Leads. I had this vision of a business, didn't go with that vision. And that's what we're doing here. And really all it is I'm a franchise broker like anyone else. That's my skill set. And I've brought some other people into my team that help with that. So with clients that need to have a great coach, they're a part of our team and we work with them. We're not an FSO. We're not a broker group. We're really just a franchise broker, but I like to say it's a franchise broker on steroids, meaning we're able to really help a lot more people because of the fact that we have a predictable lead generation system, and then that our franchise coaches, our W-2 employees that we're hiring from outside the industry, never anyone in the industry. It's a hard rule for us, but we're hiring really talented people that are in other verticals. They're doing software as a service sales. They're selling high-end real estate. We had someone interview that sold yachts, believe it or not. They're a yacht broker. And we're bringing them in. And because of the compensation model that we're doing, we're able to attract top talent that perhaps maybe we couldn't have if we weren't providing them the comp structure that we're doing. Obviously, a riskier venture. We're taking the risk in the beginning with them, but we're providing all the process like you do with your franchisees to then share in the success a bit more when franchise commissions come into play.
What a unique and interesting take in such a traditional form of franchising. Oh my gosh. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it come together, and it's been really neat to see so far. So I'm curious if you wouldn't mind diving into what are some of the day-to-day and nuances of startup mode? Just from our viewer standpoint, I would like to get some insights from you. You're right in the middle of creating this amazing organization and clearly doing something special in startup mode around franchise playbook. What is that day-to-day like?
I'm in a bit of a unique scenario only because this is a second business or a post-exit business, which you do, if done right, it's a little bit different, where in the sense that I'm capitalized a little bit different than the first time pulling up by the bootstraps. But what I would say is I'm treating this business the same, pulling up by the bootstraps while also investing into infrastructure, not losing the 7 day a week, grind it out, do whatever it takes attitude, but also afraid to invest into the business and into people. I mean, for me, the second I started building Playbook in August, the first step was pretending I was the head coach of a football team or GM, and I was in recruiting mode. And I just completely focused on putting the right team in place, org charts and writing out the roles, not the people, right? Just roles, writing out the job descriptions, writing out the roles, writing out the responsibilities of each role. What did I see us growing into, you know, from past experience? And then just like a madman, putting people on the team and moving them around to find them in the right seat, which is not, is an ongoing process, as you know, Nick, from Traction. But that was the first focus, getting the right people in the right seats and then building the infrastructure. For me, I'm doing all the boring things, health insurance, 401k plan, standard operating procedures for every single function of our business and building the foundation. We're implementing Traction, thanks to Nick. He's been your tremendous Traction implementer and someone to look up to. But we're doing all the boring stuff, I guess, is the best answer. And then we're going to start focusing on revenue but building all the boring KPIs and all those things now, we can focus on growing the business later.
Oh my gosh, it's like that skyscraper in a skyline. You see this hole in the ground and it takes forever. And you're wondering, what are they doing? The construction team's been there forever. They're closing down the streets and nothing's happening. And then all of a sudden, the skyscraper just goes up in no time. But most of that was spent in the foundation. A business is so similar. I love how you said you're approaching it like a GM of a football organization. I can see the spin there with the name Franchise Playbook. So clearly, you love entrepreneurship and you're in a unique position there starting up Franchise Playbook, and that it's not your first venture, but you're investing in something that doesn't exist. And that is so common in entrepreneurship. That's actually one of the most special parts of entrepreneurship, if you ask me. It's creating something from nothing, and all of the mental and physical and everything that goes into what that's like. I mean, you can't explain it unless you're in that position where you're investing in something and putting everything you have. You said that 7 day grind, right? You're doing everything you can, but yet that skyscraper hasn't gone up. You don't see the extravagant entrance in the lobby. You don't see it full of residents and it isn't buzzing and humming. It's truly a hole in the ground, but that is entrepreneurship. That is the beauty of entrepreneurship. You'll look back and my gosh, this season ends, it comes and goes. And eventually that hole in the ground is tremendous skyscraper and the hole in the ground is far in the rearview mirror. Transitioning a little bit here, but on the same there. Why do you love entrepreneurship so much?
Piggyback on that last you were making, it's interesting because you said it exactly right. And entrepreneurship is building something out of nothing. It's taking an idea that's in your brain, putting it on paper. One of the things I learned from my transaction was I felt like the due diligence process was easy. I remember my previous partner and I, somewhat joking, although it was an emotional, there's a lot of tension, and due diligence was not as hard as we thought maybe it would be. But that's how I felt. When the transaction ended and I stayed on to help with the transition for a period of time, that's where I felt like maybe jumping out of the window of my, 20th story building, because I learned that I did not build the foundation. And we had not a skyscraper, but we had a few story building that the foundation wasn't as strong as it could have been. And so I had to go and create everything that was in my brain, had to get onto paper to be able for me to be able to move on and that business stay intact and thrive. I learned that we had not invested in operations people, that's not my skill set perhaps as much, putting in these standard operating procedures. And so when building a new business, your analogy was so great, building that floor, that ground first, and then it going up. That's what I wanted to do. But I love entrepreneurship for three reasons. You're building something out of nothing. I think that's just an incredible thing to look back on your life and do, to say, I built something out of nothing and it changed lives and it contributed to people's livings. And some people were able to retire off of my businesses, the income they made. That's something I love. Number two would be, from a financial standpoint, I think it's incredible that you're in complete control of your destiny. You or I could have some tremendous year. We could have tremendous exits one day if that's our goal. We can give the whole business away to help combat climate change, like I just saw the CEO, founder of Patagonia do. It's completely in your decision, though. That's number two. And then number three, I would say, is just the creative side. I think the fact that we can create and design and change and pivot, it's just a more exciting way of living life, working when you love it versus not liking your work.
Oh my gosh. And so much of that is what we just talked about is filled with risk, right? You're starting something and there's potential for things to go wrong and you have so much invested. And a lot of times, in a lot of situations, a startup entrepreneur is investing heavily and going out and competing in a marketplace that is heavily established. And there are competitors that have been doing it for so long with so much market share and brand awareness. And consumers really don't care, right? They are going to go with the best option. When you're truly a startup with no experience, investing in something that doesn't exist, that is why there are such high failure rates in your traditional startup. But what I love about franchising, what I appreciate about franchising so much is that you're in business with other business owners and you're investing in a system, in a process, in a winning playbook, pun intended there. But clearly you've been intentional about the name of Franchise Playbook and what you're doing. But as a franchise owner, you're investing in this system, this winning way. And you have all the training and support and resources, technology, the marketing that you were talking about, the funnels, all of these things have been worked out. The arrows have been taken in the back by the company, the founders and the team that exists. And all of those pitfalls have been navigated and truly turned into a business model that is turned over to a franchise owner and supported. There are all these different varying versions of that that provide everything that franchise ownership gives you, the freedom, the independence, all the things that you just talked about. That is franchising. And that is what you are so passionate about. That's what I'm so passionate about. That's what we know in the franchise space. And we work so hard to improve and level up. I'm just curious, Dan, somebody that's been in the space and has clearly been very successful and is doing something pretty special with Franchise Playbook. I'm just curious, why do you love franchising so much?
I would say that if I wasn't starting Franchise Playbook, which I am leveraging some knowledge that I've already acquired and my previous business, I felt like I was a franchisee because I had a tremendous guidance in the early days on what to do. And that taught how to run a business. Franchising teaches you how to be in business. It holds you accountable. It gives you camaraderie. It gives you support. The success rate is tremendously higher. You're not going into the dark. You're going into a path that's been laid out, but you still are in control and you can still lever up and have 100 units one day if your goal is that, right? If you stay diligent and you stay focused, the sky's still the limit, but you have the guidance. And so like a franchise playbook, our saying is, you know, our clients, they crave freedom without the risk of going it alone, right? They want to have the freedom that business ownership provides, which franchise ownership completely provides as well, without all the risks. And so that's what I love about franchising. What gets me out of bed in the morning is two things: people buying a franchise and having a life better than they had before. And then the people on my team, frankly, doing better than they've ever done, making more money than they've ever made, and feeling like this was their home. This company's their home. Franchising to me is just, it gives people the freedom without the risks of going it alone.
Yeah, well said. Oh my gosh. Well, franchise ownership, it's a special thing. It provides you everything that entrepreneurship does in a community. Dan, it's really been an honor to spend this time with you. And if you've been watching this, I hope you leveled up. Dan, thank you so much for being on the show.
Nick, thank you so much as well. And I have to give you a compliment. Like everything you do, this is so well done, professional, detail-oriented. Congrats on starting this show. I'm excited to continue to listen to it.
Let's go. If anyone is interested in learning more, getting in touch with you, Dan, how can they do that?
I would say email's the best way. My email's just Dan, D-A-N. So dan@franchiseplaybook.com or LinkedIn. I'm super connected on LinkedIn as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for that. You have enjoyed this show. Please like, also contribute to the conversation. Let us know your thoughts about Franchise Playbook, about franchising, Dan's incredible tips and tricks around lead generation. And if you would like to continue to level up through information and thought leaders on the show, please subscribe, hit that subscribe, like, comment, and as always, level up.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez show.